Hello, and welcome to the Innovation Podcast Series, where we interview academic staff from across the University of Glasgow who have worked with the Learning Innovation Support Unit to develop and deliver upskilling opportunities. The topic for today's podcast is Mentimeter, an interactive presentation software. I am joined by Dr. Craig Gurney, a lecturer in the School of Social and Political Sciences, who has volunteered to share his experiences and thoughts about Mentimeter. Craig, could you share a bit more about yourself and your background?
Well, you've heard who I am. You're hearing my voice, and you've heard which department I work in. I'm new to Glasgow. I only joined University of Glasgow in January 2020 after spending 23 years man and boy working at the University of Cardiff. Previously to that, I was working at Sheffield Hallam for 5 years. I'm really passionate and enthusiastic about teaching and about kind of teaching innovation, engaging students. And I've been a fairly heavy Mentimeter user probably for about 4 or 5 years now. I've used it for Eurovision quizzes. I'm a big Eurovision fan. That's something that you should know about me. So I've used it for alternative Eurovision quizzes and voting. I've used it in wedding speeches, and I've used it in my teaching more sensibly. Thanks for the invitation. I'm delighted to be able to talk about it and perhaps to share some top tips if we come onto that.
While I know that anyone who's attended the previous Mentimeter upskilling session can attest that you are a veteran of Mentimeter, as you just mentioned, many people listening to this podcast may be new to the Mentimeter platform. And for anyone who missed that session that I just spoke about and would like to either revisit the content or discover it, the recording can be found on the Glasgow Anywhere webpage under the recorded upskilling sessions. With so many interactive online presentation tools available, Craig, why did you choose Mentimeter? Why should anyone choose Mentimeter?
Well, it's interesting you make the point that there are a lot out there. There's a lot on the market. I'll come on to why I think Menti is the best one in a moment, but I think that when we think about Mentimeter, we're calling it Menti for short, why not? When we think about Mentimeter, it's an audience response tool. Okay, so if you're new to it, what's an audience response tool? Well, the acronym that's often used is ART, A-R-T, audience response tool, and there's lots out there. And I think Mentimeter, like all good audience response tools, does essentially kind of five things. It engages your audience, it boosts participation, it facilitates active learning. It's really good, I think, for kind of generating instant feedback and developing learners' feedback literacy, and particularly during the pandemic and whilst kind of delivering blended learning, it's been really important in terms of checking in on students and you know, being mm-hmm. able to talk anonymously about their well-being. But for me though, I think it is the best audience response tool out there in my experience, and I've used quite a few and I've done a little bit of research on the kind of the pros and cons of different ones available. There's things like Zeetings. Zeetings is a good one. There's many others out there that people might be familiar with. Padlet's another one. But for me, it trumps those other ones because A, I think it's the easiest to use and it's all about kind of ease of use for me. We're all busy. We're all kind of learning new things all the time, particularly during the online pivot. For me, Mentimeter is dead easy to use. Secondly, I think it looks good. It's got a really nice, slick interface, users predominantly engage with Mentimeter through their mobile phones, and it looks good on a mobile phone. And finally, of course, Glasgow's got this license now. We've got this license. So, you know, we've got this. I mean, you mentioned that in the Mentimeter upskilling session. And one of the things that I used really from the outset in my teaching practice was the idea of a buzz group. Yeah. So you've got a large lecture theatre, a large group of students, you give them a small task to complete and there's a big buzz, like bees right at heart. That's why it's called a buzz group. And you know, the thing about audience response tools is it's just a kind of high tech way of facilitating a buzz group. And of course, you know, you can use these, use audience response tools like Mentimeter in a live face-to-face situation, or as many of us have been doing in the last last couple of years, been using them for blended learning during the pandemic. So yeah, just to reiterate, it's about engagement first and foremost. And I think of the ones out there, of the audience response tools out there, the Mentimeter, I think, is for me, head and shoulders above the rest.
Because you mentioned face-to-face as well, students tend to learn at their own unique pace and they benefit from both asynchronous and synchronous learning experience. And with COVID, the use of virtual classrooms and on-demand content has made it challenging, to say the least, to maintain student engagement at times. So my question for you is, how does Mentimeter either create or support student engagement opportunities in either of those settings?
It's the anonymity. Really? I mean, you just imagine a situation. You've got it's the first week of the semester, okay? You're teaching a large group of students in a large lecture theatre, okay? Or you're teaching a large group, so I'm talking 100 to 200 maybe, or you've got lots of people on the other end of a Zoom call. You've got 200-300 students on a Zoom call. And you want them to be engaged. You want to start a discussion, and you want somebody to say something. Yeah, you've started, you know, you know, people don't. I mean, I wouldn't, because you're terrified. You know, you're a new, you know, first week of lectures. You know, you're terrified of being made to look a fool. You're terrified of saying the wrong thing.
I'm still terrified.
There might be all sorts of, all sorts of kind of cultural reasons why you might feel uncomfortable. You might feel as if that, you know, you might say the wrong thing. And also, it may be a kind of controversial opinion. It may be something that might kind of divide opinion. I mean, we're talking in kind of post-Brexit Britain here. We're talking about, you know, issues around Scotland, you know, Indy Ref 2. There's, you know, there's things that inflame people and inflame debate, and people might not feel comfortable about talking honestly about their feelings or their thoughts. And the other classic thing, I'm sure that'll be familiar to people listening, is you ask at the end of a lecture, have you got any questions? And no one says anything. And then you go, right. And then you go to leave, and there's a queue of about 30 students want to talk to you, ask you that one question, because they want to again, perhaps they're concerned about revealing their questions publicly. They might be embarrassed, all sorts of different cultural reasons for that. But, you know, you can say, okay, well, we've got 10 minutes left. Here's your chance now to bombard me with your questions. You know, give me your questions now through Mentimeter. And actually, that does mean that the ending of lectures is much crisper and much neater, and you haven't got that, you know, those constant, you know, the constant kind of questions asked as you're trying to leave the room, you know, and you're dashing off to your next meeting. So it's, I think it's just the anonymity and the instantaneousness of Mentimeter, which promotes engagement for me.
Speaking of students, having used this platform with for several reasons, but specifically with students over some time, what is some of the predominant feedback that they've given you about Mentimeter?
Embarrassingly positive. I mean, students love it. They value the anonymity during lockdown periods. They value the ability to check in on them and for them to respond anonymously, honestly. It's, you know, the first time you come across it, it's a bit of a gimmick. It's fun, and students may have been told, you know, going into lecture theatres, can you please turn off your mobile phones? But this is, you know, I quite like Mentimeter because it's a little bit kind of seditious and breaking the rules, because it's no turn on your mobile phones. So there's a bit of a gimmick to it. I mean, I accept that, but hey, it engages students; they enjoy it, and. You know, it's a little bit embarrassing because I've been nominated and have won several awards both here in Glasgow and previously in Cardiff. And basically, it's because of the way I've used this software. So I feel a little bit kind of a kind of cheat to it, because it's.
Do you credit them in your award speech?
It depends how long I've got, really. But I think it's. But seriously, I mean, I think the students do enjoy it, and I think it's. It's just a different way to engage people. And I think that that's important. And I think, you know, we just because we're doing stuff online, it doesn't mean that we kind of give up on our teaching craft. And you know, we have to perhaps work that bit harder to engage. But relentlessly positive. I mean, I think I mean, there are downsides to using it. And obviously, I'm going to make some comments later on about that if you want, about kind of the pros and cons. But you know, there is, you know, you can use it for much more than just doing quizzes. And I think that there's a limit to the number of quiz questions you can ask sensibly before people start to just kind of switch off. So yeah. I think there's probably a Goldilocks, a sweet point number. I think, you know, you could probably get away with asking more than 3 or 4 questions in a quiz as part of a lecture, but I think not as many as 10, because then it becomes a pub quiz, and you know, it's just that people stop to take it seriously. But they're good for learning checks.
Picking up on what you mentioned, some of the like challenging aspects, I was going to ask you around sort of the difference in preparing a Mentimeter presentation versus the more traditional presentation.
Of course, I think it's not first and foremost a piece of software I'd go to present or disseminate, okay? So I wouldn't, for example, use Mentimeter to present research paper findings at a conference. I wouldn't use Mentimeter alone to deliver every scintilla and every iota of learning outcomes for a particular learning event. PowerPoint, I think, offers the kind of, you know, PowerPoint's got more variation in font. PowerPoint is much easier to embed video content. Having a restriction in font size and numbers of words you can get on a slide is not a bad thing. We've all seen those PowerPoints, like, you know, death by PowerPoint. It's not first and foremost a mechanism for disseminating information. It's about engagement. So what I tend to do is, rather than embedding, because you can do this, you can embed Mentimeter into a PowerPoint presentation. What I tend to do actually is just have it freestanding, because often if the internet connection's weak, you're using stuff from the cloud, sometimes there's a lag. It makes, if you're using, you know, a kind of data stick, if for whatever reason you might be doing that, a data stick to make your presentations, it uses up a lot of memory. So what I tend to do is to start off a learning session. Let's say you've got a 1 hour lecture, let's say. And you might start off with a freestanding Mentimeter session of kind of 10, 15 minutes, which might be a kind of check-in, how are you doing this week, you know, and you can use a kind of ranking exercise. People can scale from 1 to 5, you know, and you can kind of, you know, you say, well, you're doing better than this week or last week. You can then follow that up with a word cloud. You know, you can look at that, respond to some of the things. There might be some questions to follow up from last week. Okay. And then you go, okay, we'll come back to that. And then you go back into PowerPoint and you do your kind of traditional slide. There might be a breakout room. There might be a kind of some buzz groups or something. And you'd go back into Mentimeter for that. So I think that, I would say that it's not the best way necessarily just to present stuff, although you can use slides and, you know, I've seen it done and I have done it, but I think PowerPoint's got more flexibility because we know it's a tool for presenting materials. Mentimeter, the prime driver of Mentimeter is about engagement, because you can't get that engagement with PowerPoint. So I've talked a little bit about the kind of limitations vis-a-vis PowerPoints. Other things to say, really. I mean, I've caught, you know, that gets us to think about what it is that's good about Mentimeter. And I think that I've mentioned quizzes before. I mean, it's not yeah. just about quizzes. It's about kind of, you know, you can produce these Q&A sessions. And some people have said to me, well, that's Craig, that's a bit, you know, that's a bit high risk, you know, asking people to write things and they're projected on the screen behind you. But I mean, that's exactly the same as if you ask students, have you got any questions, and they put their hand up. You're not exposed to more jeopardy because students are writing things down that might appear on their screens or on the wall behind you. There is a profanity filter. You can screen out profanities in 23 different languages and ASCII characters as well. I sometimes, just to make it exciting, I'll leave the profanity filter on in Icelandic or something, just to see if anyone knows any Icelandic swear words. You can use it for those Q&A sessions. You can use it to build word clouds. You can rank things, you know, from low to high. None of that you can do with PowerPoint. So I think you've got to think, it's not a panacea. you've still got to think about what your aims are, what your learning aims are, and all the good practice about engagement. But it's very, very good for engaging mm-hmm. students. And if you're teaching something that's deathly dull and you need to find a way to make it engaging and keep students with you and keep them on board, I would pause the PowerPoint presentation, just come out of it completely, go into Mentimeter for 10 or 15 minutes, and then you can come back to it. And the way that Mentimeter works is students are accessing it via their mobile phones. That same Mentimeter code that you need to type in when you go into the Mentimeter browser will still be good kind of 20, 30 minutes later. It's very different to PowerPoint. That's important.
The last question I have is, if you could give either a tip or a recommendation to someone who was new or a beginner to Mentimeter, what piece of advice would you give them? Or, you know, maybe even what feature would be a staple in a Mentimeter presentation?
Anna, I'm glad you asked me that. I've prepared for this and I've got five top tips, okay? I've got five fingers in my hand, so it's dead easy to remember, okay? The first thing, the first top tip is to, whilst you're still learning to use it, I would suggest that you use Mentimeter as a freestanding it's a freestanding learning event. Okay, don't try to embed it into PowerPoint. Just have it as a freestanding interlude. Okay, the second thing is just to practice using it. It's not difficult. It's the best audience response tool because it's so intuitive. Thirdly, use it sparingly. I was at a conference once and somebody had clearly just bought the kind of the pro version or had a limited use on the pro version. And there was like 50 or 60 quiz questions. And it was just, you know, people's phone batteries were dying. People were using up their data allowances. So you've got to think about that. The fourth thing, just don't forget the importance of thinking about what the aims of your sessions are. Okay. And finally, the thing to remember is the key buried in the settings menu. There's one thing that you need to be mindful of in the settings menu, and that's pace. And it's the distinction between audience pace and presenter pace is vital. So if you're intending to use Mentimeter asynchronously, you need to make sure that that's switched to audience pace. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a live session, either face to face or through a Zoom link or Teams link, you need to make sure that's switched to presenter pace, and it defaults to the option you previously used. So mm-hmm. just check that. And I've made that mistake a couple of times, and it's just, it's not working. And then you realize why it's not working. That's my five top tips. I hope they're helpful.
On that note, I want to thank you so much, Craig, for generously volunteering your time to share your thoughts, your experiences on Mentimeter, and once again, being a really big advocate of this tool and encouraging, you know, your fellow peers to just get out there, try it. If anyone has any questions about Mentimeter or this podcast, you can find them on the page that this podcast will be located on, along with our other podcasts for their Learning Innovation Support Unit.